Good morning, everyone. How are we? Welcome to you if you're visiting with us today. My name's Craig. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just so good to be back. I've had 7 weeks off, would you believe? And 3 weeks with Ruth up north, and then I took 3 weeks on my motorbike and did 5,500 k's across Australia to the centre of Australia and back. And it was just wonderful. God taught me so many different things. So I wanted to talk this morning, and oh, by the way, if you're visiting here today and you've got kids and your kids went that way and the rest went that way, they're going to go all the way around and they're going to end up at the same spot, so be at peace. So we're going to talk today about seasons of life, and let me share with you a story about when the railroads were first introduced. So when the railroads were first introduced to the US, some folks feared that it would be the downfall of the nation. Here's an excerpt from the President Jackson, dated January 31, 1829. So it's an old quote. "As you may know, Mr. President," this was a letter written to the President, "as you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which, in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed." And that was written by Martin Van Bruen, Governor of New York. And isn't it the case that there's seasons of life, there's change, there's things happening all the time? And oftentimes those things, they unsettle us. They make us uncertain. So I promised Ruth that I wasn't going to show my wife all my photos, but I'm going to show you a few of my trip. And so I reckon the seasons of life is like taking a long trip. So here we are. Here's a few of us. We're all set up. These are our bikes, and we've got spare tires, and we've got tools, and we're ready to go. And next picture, Rod. And so so what's in the background? So here's a chocolate to someone who can say the proper Aboriginal name. I told you before, you don't count. Catachuta, there you go. Who was that? Chocolate for the man. So it's a road, and sometimes it's a destination, sometimes it's just a road, it's a journey. And you have to be prepared because lots of weird stuff happens. So, you know, we had lots of flat tires. And next photo, you can see here, we're parked with the Olgas in the background doing another flat tire. You have to be prepared. Things happen that you're uncertain about. So the seasons of life. Seasons of life, that's what the first thing I want to talk about is the seasons of life and how you're going through the seasons of life. And I think the term the seasons of life doesn't only describe the weather, but it also describes where we are and some of the things that are happening around us. We have summer, autumn, winter, and spring, but we also have periods where we experience loneliness and periods where we experience fear and anxiety. We have periods where we have financial stress in our lives. We have periods where illness plagues us and where relational conflict comes in like an unwelcome guest. And you know what? The thing about all of that is that the seasons come and go with no regard for our lives. Did you ever think about that? They just come. They do their thing. They have their seasons. And it's about being prepared. It's about knowing it. It's about living with it. Jesus tells a story about this in Matthew 7:24-27, and Dan read it to us before. She said, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into action or practice is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." So there's an important principle here, and that is this. He says that the rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and the one who trusted in God's foundation stood strong. But the principle is this. His foundation was good, or their foundation was good, but the storm still came. Do you get that? And I think sometimes, people think that if you give your life to the Lord and you trust in Jesus, then everything's going to be honky-dory. It's just going to be sweet. Jesus doesn't promise that. He doesn't promise us a life devoid of problems or pressures. But he does promise that if we trust in him, he will be there with us. And the foundation that he gives us for our lives is strong and secure, and it doesn't erode when those big moments come. So, you know, in the hills we prepare for storms by cleaning our gutters and all that sort of stuff. But how are you preparing for the storms of your life where you are at the moment? And I guess the question is, how good is your foundation? Jesus said the way to get this foundation that he talks about, this rock, is by hearing and obeying the words that he says. Therefore, everyone, and that's an inclusive sort of a thing, it's everyone. You know, Jesus died for all people, and Jesus loves all people the same. We're not more special than people that don't believe in God. Jesus loves all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, it's everyone, whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. So the verse says, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built their house on a rock. And so I guess I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' ability and the promises that he's making and how he can make those promises, but I'm going to do that in a minute. But what about the person who doesn't trust in God, the one who chooses to go alone, the one who says, okay, yeah, there's a God, I know there's a God, but I'm okay, I'm doing all right. Well, Jesus says this about it. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person, an unwise person who built their house on sand, didn't have a foundation, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. And don't you love the description here? It fell with a great crash. I guess I want to ask you today, what foundation are you building your life on? And, you know, even if you are a follower of Jesus, maybe you've taken back control of your life and it's you who's trying to build that foundation yourself. I think the best thing that we can do today is just acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and as we've talked about already, rely on him as the foundation, the one that we need to have. There's a story told of an elderly carpenter who was getting ready to retire, and he had a great working relationship with his boss. They were really good mates, and so the carpenter went and told his boss, the employer. He said, look, I'm getting ready to retire. He said, I just don't want to build anymore. I want to spend time with my grandkids and my wife. And the builder said, the owner of the company, the boss, said, that's okay. He said, but will you do me one more favor? He said, will you build me one more house? And the guy said, yeah, okay, one more house. So he starts building the house, but his heart wasn't in it. He starts to, you know, do the work, and the work was a little bit shoddy. It wasn't up to his excellent normal standard. And, you know, he finished it, and he told the boss, and the boss comes and looks at it, and he walks through. And then as he's leaving, the boss says to him, pulls the keys out and says, this is your house. It's for you, for all your years of service. I think it's a true story. But the point is this, that, you know, we try to build our own foundations in our own life, and it can be shoddy. It's not enough. It's inadequate. And Jesus says as much, because when the storms do come, and they do come, we're left wanting. Things aren't right. The standard isn't good enough. The foundations aren't strong enough. The things that we rely on, that money, those relationships, that employment position, those things that we think are the bedrocks of our life, even our health. And I mean, the last 2 years has been testimony of that. All of those things get shaken and stirred, and they become deficient. And yet Jesus says, if you put your trust in me, follow my words, follow my way, those storms will still come, but I'll be there with you, and the foundation will be good, and your life will be strong. So how does Jesus get to say all this, and what authority does he have to claim to be the foundation for our lives? There's a few things here. I think the verse 28 and 29 of the passage that we've just read talks about Jesus' authority. So Jesus made this little story about the builders, the sand and the rock, and at the end of it, this is what everyone's response was. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority and not as the other teachers of the law. Mark describes it this way in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. He just puts it out there. Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Messiah, that's what Messiah means, the Savior of the world. And the Son of God. In those two little phrases, he says that Jesus is the one that is the Savior for everyone, but he's also divine. He's the Son of God. He has the ability to do what he says he will. And there's a number of different things that I just, you know, the way that people saw Jesus, the way that people interacted with Jesus when he was alive on earth, that just testify or just bear witness to the way that Jesus was God and has the authority to speak into our lives. So if you've got your Bibles, just have a look through some of these. I think they might come up on the screen. But Mark chapter 1, verses 21, Jesus had authority over the spiritual world. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Yep, you've got it there. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. See that, you know, that statement again, one who has authority. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." So Jesus had authority over the spiritual world, over the unseen, the things that we maybe perhaps don't understand fully. But he also had authority over illness. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and then she began to wait on him. And elsewhere, the next story talks about him healing a leper. So Jesus had authority over the spiritual world. He had authority over the physical world with illness. He had also had authority to forgive sins. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached a word to them. Some men came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him in because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat through the roof that he was lying on. And when Jesus saw his faith, or their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of everyone. And they were amazed, and everyone there praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So he has authority to over spiritual world, over the physical world, and also to forgive sins. And you know, only God has that authority. He also had authority over nature. Mark chapter 4, they were out in the boat, and things are getting a bit, you know, they're on a fishing trip, and things are getting a bit hairy. and the storm's coming up. Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat, and Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the waves. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" These are seasoned fishermen, by the way. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Isn't that cool? Authority over the spiritual world, authority over the physical world, authority to forgive sins, authority over nature, and even authority over death. Look at Mark 5. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they have this encounter. There was a commotion, verse 39. He went in. What is all the commotion and wailing? And the parents said, "The child is not dead, but asleep." Sorry, let me start again. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing aloud. He went in and said, "Why is all the commotion and wailing?" Obviously, the messengers have come because this child, Jairus's child, has died. And Jesus said, "No, she's not dead. She's just asleep." But they laughed at him after he'd put them all out, and he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into the child. And he took her by the hand and said, in a Hebrew word, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And look at their response. They were all completely astonished. Now, Jesus has authority over the spiritual world, over our over illness, over nature, to forgive sins, and over death. And I want to ask you the question, what isn't covered here? What doesn't Jesus have authority over for my life and for your life? And so Jesus' claims are just so strong. This week I heard a really funny story. Did you know that there's more Monopoly money printed each year than actual money? Did you know that? That's and like, we've got more Monopoly money at home, I think, than we've got proper money. But it's only good. It's not about the quality of the paper. It's not about the quality of the ink. It's about what the government says is legal tender, right? So once the government say that my Monopoly money is legal tender, I'll be good. Maybe you will be too. But it's that point of authority, isn't it? It's that thing that makes it right. And Jesus has proved, I think, his credentials to say that he can be the foundation of your life. He says that it's available to everyone. And I don't know how you're doing today, and maybe this season has rocked you. There's life on top of what we've just been through and are still going through. There's all of that. And yet he says to us, "Take me as your foundation. Trust in me. I want to be there with you." Jesus says a foundation. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds their house on a rock." And I love the two little verb words there, the two little action words that he talks about. He just says to hear and understand and to put into practice. And so it's not that we have to understand all of it. It's we just have to enough to receive it and accept it for ourselves. Let me read to you a few of the promises and things that Jesus says. In John 14, 6 and 7, he says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him, you have not seen him." So, but the important part of that is, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to know God? You need to know Jesus. You need to have him as the center of your life. You need to trust and follow him. But you also need to allow him to deal with your sin. When Jesus saw the faith of this paralyzed man, he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus forgives our sin. I don't know, if we were to put a whiteboard out the front and we just like were completely honest and wrote all our stuff down, wouldn't that be embarrassing? And yet Jesus knows it all already, and he says, I just want to take it. Don't stress about it. I died on the cross to do that, to take the punishment of those things, those mistakes, those shortcomings, those things where we willfully did things that we're just absolutely ashamed of, and all of us have it. And yet he promises to take all of that away, our failings, and give us a fresh start and a clean conscience. Your sins are forgiven you. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have over your life? Your sins are forgiven you. And then he promises something else in John 10:10. He promises us new life. The thief comes only to steal and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. So, you know, this morning, coming into winter, the storms are coming, the rain's coming, but there'll be uncertainty in your life in this next month, I guarantee it. At some junction, at some point, there'll be things that come along and rattle you. It's not always walking in sunshine. It's not always living on a mountaintop. It's often living in the shadows of the mountain. But Jesus' promise is that when those storms come, he wants to be there with us and bring the full force of his authority, his strength, and his love to bear on those circumstances and our situation. This last probably 12 months has been a really tough time for me. I've suffered with anxiety, I've suffered with depression, I've suffered with physical illness, had, you know, bouts in hospital, a whole lot of stuff. And I guess while I was away, I just had to come to that point of just surrendering back and saying, God, just take all of that. I don't want to live in that space any longer. I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I know you are. And so I invite you to do what only you can do in those spaces. One of the readings that we had this morning, I love this verse, is Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, and the word way there, that's the word for road in Hebrew. In all the different tracks you take, in all the little routes that you take in life, submit to God. Trust in Jesus. And I love this next bit, and he'll make your path straight. Doesn't say he'll make them easy. Doesn't say he'll fix them. But you'll get through them. But of course, all this is contingent upon us obeying and trusting in what God is promising and what God calls us to do. So the seasons of life still come. We're in winter. Spring's going to be next. Then it's summer, then it'll be autumn, and then it'll be summer again, autumn, winter. I'm all out of whack, but you know the thing. And on top of that, we'll still have those seasons, those circumstances in life that's still coming, those things that are outside of our control. We won't know about them, they'll keep coming, they won't have any sense of regard for our life. But in the midst of that, Jesus says, I want to be in there with you. When the rains come, when the storms blow, I want to be your foundation. So I'm going to ask you all to stand. And maybe today it's a time for us, yeah, just stand up. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, because I sense today that there's people here that have just been smashed this period and are just really struggling. And so we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to ask just a prayer of dedication, recommitting ourselves to put Jesus back as the foundation in our lives, not ourselves, not our own cleverness, not our ability to earn money or trust in our job or look to the resources that others provide, but we're going to call Jesus our foundation. And then secondly, maybe there's some here today that are just wanting to explore that idea of who God is, and I want to encourage you to take those first steps as well. So, Father, I thank you that your love is great and your grace is so amazing, and that amidst all our woes and things that seem so probably trivial to you, you don't see them as trivial, because you come down to earth and you promise to give us peace and comfort and a strong, rock-solid foundation in the midst of all those things. And Lord, today there's probably many of us here today that are just feeling a bit heavy in our hearts, a bit despondent, and we've lost sight of you in our week and in our lives. And so today we want to give ourselves back to you. And so maybe you want to just repeat this prayer after me. As I'm going to pray it for myself as well. Lord Jesus, I want to put you back on the throne of my life. I want to repent of sins that have just, the sin of being independent. And Lord, I call on you to be the Lord of all areas of my life. Yeah. And so I pray, Father, for those that have prayed that, that you'll honor that prayer. And we pray, Holy Spirit, for your comfort and your peace. And also I want to pray for those here today that are maybe just curious, looking in at the faith and wondering about that. And I ask today, Lord, for you to do something in their lives. And maybe if that's you today, maybe you just want to take early steps and just ask God to speak to you this week in a really tangible way, something special. Because you know what? He wants to speak to you. He wants to make himself known to you. So I pray that today, that there'll be something this week that is just a confirmation that there is a God and that he wants to love you and touch your lives. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the simplicity of what you call us to be and do, just to trust in you and to walk with you. And I pray your blessing upon all these people, because you love all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.